Hi, my name is Cora. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from people-pleasing, depression, and an eating disorder. Hey. I grew up in a Christian home in Billings, Montana. My parents were believers and were very involved in the small legalistic church that we attended. From kindergarten through eighth grade, I attended the small private school run by the church. A lot of what this church believed was not based on scripture, but on what the pastor believed and had experienced. What was based on scripture was taken out of context. This created an environment of rule following and a focus on external behavior instead of the heart. Sadly, it was in this unhealthy community of legalism and denial where I was sexually abused by my best friend's father between the ages of 5 through 7. I assumed it was my fault and that somehow I deserved it and wanted it. This secret of abuse was the beginning of my pattern of hiding the deepest parts of me in secrecy and shame. I had so many confusing thoughts about what I had been exposed to that I began to develop the habit of hiding what I was really thinking and feeling. I was afraid for anyone to know what had happened because I believed I deserved the abuse and even wanted it. Even in my shame from the abuse, God reached out to my heart at the age of 8 when I heard a simple gospel message on the radio. Jesus had suffered and sacrificed his life on the cross for my sins so that I could be forgiven and have a relationship with him. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I was alone in my room and I hit my knees weeping, overcome by love for Jesus, my best friend who had died on the cross for the sins I knew I carried. I sought what it meant to follow Christ and be his disciple, and I already knew that I had failed at doing those two things well. Oh, sorry. I sought what it meant to follow Christ and be his disciple, which according to my legalistic church meant always doing the right thing and being right. And I already knew that I had failed at doing those two things well. So I tried to hide everything I considered wrong or a sin in me and wrap myself in fantasy lands and books. In my longing to be accepted, I decided to try and find acceptance in life from worldly people and things. In my mind, the good Christian girls and boys in my class had rejected me, so I was going to reject not only them, but what they stood for, which was doing the right thing and looking good on the outside. So from sixth grade through high school, I immersed myself into punk gothic culture and lifestyle, which included drinking and using drugs, skipping school, running away from home, sexual experimentation, and dabbling in the occult. I sought the love and acceptance I desperately desired through one more high, party, or relationship. I tried to take control of my life by not letting anyone else but me control it. But the shame and guilt from my childhood were compounded as my action lined up with how I viewed myself as unacceptable, unwanted, and out of control. When I was 16, I was raped. Shame filled me for what happened. I blamed myself. I decided I was going to find healing from the pain and shame by locking myself in my room and journaling and listening to music. What I didn't realize was that isolation only serves to increase shame and guilt, not relieve it. After 4 days of this, I left my room and felt only worse. Shame and self-hatred drove me to self-destruction. I was on a slow path to suicide, more drugs, parties, and promiscuity. At 17, I discovered I was pregnant by my boyfriend of 2 weeks. I debated having an abortion before a friend helped me decide to keep my baby, which meant no more drugs, alcohol, or parties. At this point, I reached rock bottom, my prodigal pigsty. I could no longer stuff, numb, or chase away the hurt and shame I felt through my usual coping mechanisms. And like the prodigal son, I felt I had no one to turn to other than God and hope that he would be good when I really believed he wasn't. At this point, I cried out to the Lord for help and declared I would follow him by raising my child to know him. After my son Alex was born in 1999, I began to understand the love the Father had for me through love for my child. My heart was softened and I began to pursue a real relationship with Christ. Having my son was truly a great blessing from God. He knew this was exactly what I needed in order to believe him and move forward with healing. Psalm 40 says, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He put my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. That rock is Jesus Christ." I started going to church and attending ladies' Bible studies where I found growth and healing through scripture and prayer. I also found great joy in serving at the local Christian Pregnancy Center and through sharing my testimony with high school kids while leading groups at my church in Young Life. I also made new friends at church, which included a young man who I served in high school ministry with. Our friendship soon turned into a dating relationship. As I opened up to him about this sexual abuse and my rebellious past, he struggled to love me well, and his response only made me feel ashamed and rejected. I struggled with being honest about my feelings and who I was because I wanted to please him and find acceptance from him. Unfortunately, my extreme willingness to ignore my feelings and thoughts in order to please him led me to following his advice that I needed to lose weight. He tried to help me by controlling my eating and exercise habits. As I tried to lose weight unsuccessfully, our relationship disintegrated and ended. I started to struggle with shame and fear of rejection, which manifested itself in my life through an eating disorder. I felt completely inadequate unless I was trying to lose weight, and I became obsessed with food. I would eat with self-control on my lightest diet during the day, but at night I would binge on any restricted foods I could get my hands on. The binging habit went from monthly to weekly to daily over a period of a year. I was soon so out of control, I felt like I was constantly eating, stuffing the feelings of insecurity, shame, and fear that threatened to overcome me. Food was my best friend and my worst enemy. During this time, I prayed, fasted, went to church, tried to talk with friends about my struggle, but nothing seemed to help. I felt hopeless to change. But change would come when I began to process my abuse in the loving, safe community of Shelter from the Storm, Watermark's recovery ministry for survivors of sexual abuse. This was my first time in any sort of recovery group, and I felt like I was just scratching the surface. Even though the group was a safe place to share, I struggled with the old habit of hiding behind a wall and not being honest with God, others, or myself about what really happened and how I felt about it. In the Shelter lesson on intimacy, the question said to draw a picture that symbolized your struggle with intimacy. I drew a picture of an emancipated me behind a wall. I was starving for intimacy with others, but I was hiding behind a self-imposed wall of so-called protection. What the picture shows is that the wall wasn't protecting me. It was slowly killing me by preventing me from getting God-given healing and growth in community. After the group ended, I was no longer working on my recovery, and my unhealthy eating binges quickly spiraled out of control even further. It was then that a friend of mine from Shelter lovingly spoke truth in my life. She said that you have an eating disorder and the only way you can overcome it is through honest, healthy community. She then recommended a support group like Watermark's Recovery Ministry Regeneration. I did an internet search and found Watermark's website promoting Regen. I listened to testimony online discussing healing from an eating disorder and felt like there was a place for me, change was possible, and hope existed. So I was going to Shelter at the time at a different church. That makes sense. So I hadn't heard about Watermark until this point. So to clarify, I went to my first night thinking that Regen would help me lose weight and thus end my eating disorder. When I didn't lose any weight physically, I did lose a ton of weight from my heart. God used my time in Regen to teach me what intimacy and healthy community looks like. He did this by revealing his true heart of grace, forgiveness, and acceptance through the women in my small group and testimonies of grace from those who are now leading. As Romans 12:2 says, I was no longer conforming to the patterns of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind. When I would come to recovery and share the yuck in my life and myself, I was still loved and accepted. My fears and insecurities decreased as I experienced the unconditional nature of God's love. The night I shared my inventory with my group, I unloaded years of shame and guilt. I felt like a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders, and I couldn't stop smiling on my way to the car, even though no one was there to see it. I also grew in my intimacy with God. Through prayer journaling, I opened up my heart, my feelings, thoughts, and dreams to God. Then I read his word to find his healing response. As the Lord exchanged the lies I believed for truth, I began to feel freedom from the bondage of shame, fear of rejection, insecurities. I began to experience what John 8:32 says. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I went on to lead a closed group and get involved in healthy community at Watermark, where God continued to show me his love and care through his people. One of these friends challenged me to go through Shelter from the Storm again to continue to work through my abuse. The second time through was still hard, but I found a lot more victory because I learned the skills of sharing what was deep in my heart with a safe group. During this time, God taught me to truly embrace the fact that the rape was not my fault, nor did I want or do anything to deserve it. I was free to place the blame where it belonged, on my rapist. Then I could appropriately process my feelings of hurt and anger and eventually extend forgiveness to my perpetrators. This freed me from shame and guilt about my role in the abuse. It was this healing that allowed me to begin to trust God with my relationships with men, and I met my husband of now 9 years. As we begin to grow our family and settle into marriage, I found healing through the way that my husband selflessly loved me and my son. However, I still struggled with my old enemy of depression and shame. When I felt like I had failed or not met someone's approval, I would go in a downward spiral of self-hatred that involved thoughts of harming myself. I would say yes to too many things and work hard to keep my house and family life running smoothly to look like I had it all together. When the opportunity came for me to go through Regen again, I jumped at the chance because even though I had taken a lot of ground, I knew that God had even greater freedom in store for me. Going through Regen again was very healing. Through looking at the patterns I found in step 4 inventory, I realized I would often struggle with comparing myself to others in appearance, personality, and status or wealth. God taught me that when I am focused on comparing myself to others, I lose the opportunity to serve and love them and be a light in the world. God didn't call us to look a certain way, eat a certain diet, or live in a particular zip code. He calls us to love Him and love others through faith, obedience, and service. As a part of my repentance plan in step 6, I recognized that part of me not comparing, including removing myself from gyms with nears and not following certain Instagram accounts. This removed some of the fuel for the fire of comparison. During step 5, confession and the lesson on pride, I recognized the way pride was a part of my struggle. I expected myself to be perfect, to not make mistakes, and I thought I could control what people thought of me. As I received and believed God's grace even more, I began to accept my weaknesses, and instead of trying to cover them up or control their appearance, I began to believe that God could use them. When I am weak, I am more dependent on God and His strength instead of relying on my own. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 11 says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" As I began to let go of trying to control what people thought of me, I found new freedom in a less stressful and hurried life through saying no. I was able to think more clearly about my priorities and act accordingly. Colossians 1:9 says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." I became less angry and controlling in my parenting and in my marriage because I was living to please God instead of pleasing man. Over the last year, I've been serving at Regen in Groundwork Newcomers and coaching small group leaders. God has continued to grow me through getting to share my story while leading. Instead of swallowing my feeling and thoughts in fear and doubt, I share my story of grace to encourage other people. My past is no longer my identity. I now believe and live out 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Now when I feel like I'm a failure or have messed up, instead of going down a path of self-hatred and malice, I choose to say, "God, what you think about me is the only thing that matters right now. And what do you have to say about me?" He reminds me that He loves me and that nothing can separate me from His love. He reminds me of the truth found in Ephesians 2:10, that I am God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He has prepared in advance for me to do. When I am wanting to punish myself for my failures and sin, God reminds me that what Jesus did on the cross was enough punishment for my sin. When I'm punishing myself, I'm standing at the foot of the cross and saying what Christ did wasn't enough. I can't face the cross and do that, so I choose to receive Christ's death as punishment for my sins and mistake. I accept God's grace, for it is by His grace we are saved through faith, not by works, so no one can boast. I walk forward seeking to humbly own my part in conflict and mistakes, to learn and grow and make it right however the Lord would have me. This looks like humbling my heart before the Lord through prayer and scripture reading, seeking to get the log out of my own eye before trying to remove the speck from my brother's eyes, Matthew 7:5 says. Then I go to the person I've wronged and ask for forgiveness of the specific sin I committed. Then I receive their forgiveness and move forward. My struggle with food has not gone away completely, but I now handle the temptation to binge and restrict my food differently. Instead of stuffing my feelings by eating, I reach out to God and friends in order to process them. I try and approach each meal with thankfulness for the food I get to eat instead of shame over the fact that I am eating. When I eat and what size I am is not my identity, nor is it something to be controlled when life feels out of control. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship." God wants me to surrender my body to Him, which includes what I eat and why. When I do this, I find freedom and live a life of worship that pleases God. If there's one thing I want you to remember from my story tonight, it's this. Your past, what you've done, and what you've been done to you is not your identity. Your new life in Christ is. Christ's sacrifice for your sins took the whole punishment, not just a part, and you are free to walk in the new life that Christ has given you, full of hope, joy, and peace. continue moving forward through whatever step you are on, knowing that God is using it to change you and give you the gift of daily new life and freedom. If tonight is your first night, welcome. You are in a safe place to share your hurts, habits, and hangups. You are at the beginning of a journey of healing, and I know it can seem overwhelming. Psalms 108 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Allow these promises to give you hope, for it is God who is going to forgive you, redeem you, heal you, and satisfy you with good things. Walk faithfully step by step on this journey, and he will show up and bring the healing. I'm looking forward to seeing all that God is going to do in your life. God loves you. Thank you for listening to my story of grace.